Good evening and welcome to The Journey From Within, featuring words and music in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. During this hour, you'll hear from Dr. Maya Angelou, who's a national treasure, Reverend Adam Clayton Powell, who represented Harlem in Congress, and the dynamic intellectual Cornel West. There are important historical moments from Marian Anderson on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in 1939. President Lyndon B. Johnson's 1965 speech on civil rights, plus the voice of Dr. King, and of course, music. Music which bridges all difficulties and brings us closer together. Music for many, including Sweet Honey and the Rock, the Neville Brothers, and the Blind Boys of Alabama. Garrison Keillor joins the Fairfield Four, and we'll end with the 1993 speech by President Bill Clinton to the congregation in the Memphis church where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. gave his final sermon before being assassinated in 1968. I'm Lee Hay, and this is The Journey From Within.
I write your name
on my school desk.
I write
on the page.
It's sacred. Church. Everything in God's world is sacred. Trees and toads and little girls' eyes. Grandfather's hands and the murmuring voices of lovers. All sacred. A poet's dream. Almanac compilers and rocks that look up at the moon. All sacred. Everything can be church. And anything can be church. Church was the first public place where I came child to spirit to Christ. Suffer little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Church. Literally, church introduced me to my very first friend. Louise and I both thought the preacher talked too long, Mrs. Sneed sang too loudly, and Brother Williams got too wild when he prayed. We both giggled at the same time and cried just as piteously when we were chastised. Every time I feel the Spirit, I know I am immersed in the essence of church. That knowledge changes my voice. I speak more softly and choose my words more carefully. There are more yes ma'ams and no ma'ams and yes sirs and no sirs in my conversation. Out of my heart, out of my brain, more thank yous slide across my tongue. I am blessed. I am in church. Church is not the luggage I bear, nor the cloak I wear. It is neither the hat I sport, nor the shoes which carry me around my world. It is not my destination, nor my place of departure. The breadth and depth and width and height of church cannot be defined, but church can define me always. It slides the skin over my muscles and allows my lungs to inspirate and fill so that hallelujah, like rain, comes from my mouth. Hallelujah falls like rain from my lips. Church is where I go when I want a certain fulfillment. And church is where I don't have to go because it is always with me, holding me up, propelling me forward, sustaining me. When I think about church and remember that church and I are one, I am reminded that everything in God's world is sacred. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. My name is Maya Angelou.
Let the word go forth here and now that the struggle for freedom is still alive, and the story of that struggle is still being told. We begin with guttural cries and wrenching moans and visceral groans and weary lament and silent tears. And how this grand people of African descent could transfigure such misery into joy and a sense of sustaining themselves against overwhelming odds. What a story, what a drama. Vicious theft from Africa, pernicious passage to the New World America, atrocious enslavement on ugly plantations. Yet in wooden churches on God-forsaken creeks, in makeshift churches, they would forge a connection with a biblical story.
Every child of God,
running for Jesus,
just like an automobile.
The first great art created in America. The spirituals proclaiming the good news in bad news situations. Connecting the sense of self against a society that told them they were nobody and no one. Keeping on was the theme. And then the painful laughter of the grand art, the blues themselves, the tragic comic sensibility of keeping on against the odds. Being down so long, the down don't worry us no more, and keeping on anyhow. Nothing like it in the world. Private agony and public misery could still not hold us back. We never allow misery to have the last word, even if all you could do is sing a song or a little moan. Or even crack a smile. Then the most sophisticated, the most refined art ever created, not just in America, but in the 20th century. Jazz itself. European instruments. New World African sensibility. The fusion of finding your own voice, but always in community, bouncing off against other voices to elevate the high quality of the collective performance of the quartet or the orchestra.
or the quintet, or maybe just a solo. Too many geniuses to mention, but Armstrong and Ellington and Monk and Coltrane and Vaughan and Holiday will have to do just at the moment. And then rhythm and blues, mellow, the sharing of soothing sweetness.
Have I told you I love you?
We thank Brother Derek Allen and his musical genius for providing contribution in the tradition of Marvin Gaye, Luther Vandross, Curtis Mayfield, Aretha Franklin, and so many innumerable others. But then comes hip-hop, the greatest creative breakthrough of the last 25 years of the younger generation, fusing linguistic virtuosity with rhythmic velocity, something unprecedented as well as the other earlier developments in the history of not just black music, 20th century music, modern music, all connected to struggle for freedom. The music soothes our bruises. It caresses our bruises. It attempts to give us a foretaste of the freedom we so deeply want, even if we can experience it only for a moment. For a moment. For a moment. The struggle goes on. The story must be told and retold. Every generation must be connected to that story to be linked to that struggle for freedom. Come with us as we unfold the story and lay bare the drama. And lay bare the drama.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We're speaking to you from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in the nation's capital, from which point the National Broadcasting Company brings you a song recital by the gifted Marian Anderson, considered by music critics throughout the world as possessing a most outstanding contralto voice. This concert is presented under the auspices of Howard University of Washington, D.C. Miss Anderson will sing from a stage built on the steps of this impressive memorial to America's Civil War president, looking out over the beautiful reflecting pool to the Washington Monument. Marian Anderson is singing this public concert at the Lincoln Memorial because she was unable to get an auditorium to accommodate the tremendous audience that wished to hear her. Thousands are gathered near the memorial to hear this Easter Day recital, which is perhaps the first open-air concert ever held in Washington.
Ooh. If I had one dream, it would be a world without rich or poor. If I had one wish, it would be for a safer place for all the children. If I had one hope, it would be to measure up to the courage of my ancestors. And if I had one prayer, it would be always, always, always for peace. Always peace. Always.
This is the Voice of America, broadcasting from Washington. This is Robert Lodge in the chamber of the United States House of Representatives, where a special joint session of the House and Senate has convened for a message from President Lyndon Johnson. In just a moment, we expect Mr. Johnson to enter the House chamber, escorted by a special delegation of Democratic and Republican congressional leaders. The joint session, as well as the entire United States by way of radio and television, we'll hear President Johnson give his recommendations for a new voting rights law.
I speak tonight for the dignity of man and the destiny of democracy. I urge every member of both parties, Americans of all religions and of all colors, from every section of this country, to join me in that cause. At times, history and fate meet at a single time, in a single place, to shape a turning point in man's unending search for freedom. So it was at Lexington and Concord. So it was a century ago at Appomattox. So it was last week in Selma, Alabama. There, long-suffering men and women peacefully protested the denial of their rights as Americans. Many were brutally assaulted. One good man, a man of God, was killed. There is no cause for pride in what has happened in Selma. There is no cause for self-satisfaction in the long denial of equal rights of millions of Americans. But there is cause for hope and for faith in our democracy and what is happening here tonight. For the cries of pain and the hymns and protests of oppressed people have summoned into convocation all the majesty of this great government, the government of the greatest nation on earth. Our mission is at once the oldest and the most basic of this country: to right wrong, to do justice, to serve man. In our time, we have come to live with the moments of great crisis. Our lives have been marked with debate about great issues, issues of war and peace, issues of prosperity and depression. But rarely in any time does an issue lay bare the secret heart of America itself. Rarely are we met with a challenge, not to our growth, our abundance, or our welfare, or our security, but rather to the values and the purposes and the meaning of our beloved nation.
Jesus, my all, to heaven is gone. I'll never turn back no more, no more.
I conclude by saying our goal is freedom. And I believe we're going to get there because however much she strays away from it, the goal of America is freedom. Abused and scorned, though we may be as a people, our destiny somehow is tied up with the destiny of America. Before the Pilgrim Fathers landed at Plymouth, we were here. Before Jefferson wrote the beautiful words from the Declaration of Independence, we were here. Before the beautiful words of the Star-Spangled Banner were written, we were here. And for more than two centuries, our forebears labored here without wages. They made cotton king, and they built the homes of their masters. In the midst of the most humiliating and oppressive conditions, and yet out of a bottomless vitality, they continue to grow and develop. And if the inexpressible cruelties of slavery couldn't stop us, the opposition that we now face will surely fail. We're going to win our freedom. We're going to win our freedom because both the sacred heritage of our nation and the eternal will of the Almighty God are embodied in our echoing demands. And so I can still sing, we shall overcome, we shall overcome, because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right, no lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right, truth crushed earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right, truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mounting of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to speed up the day when all of God's children all over this nation, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
God's on your side. in the 1960s came the Vietnam War. Can someone tell me what we were fighting for? So many young men died, so many mothers cried. Now I ask the question, was God on our side? I learned to hate the Russians all through my whole life. If another war comes, it's them we must fight. And to hate them and fear them, to run and to hide, and accept it all bravely, with God on my side. Through many dark hours, I've been thinking about this, that Jesus Christ was betrayed by a kiss. But I can't think for you, you have to decide whether Judas Iscariot had God on his side. Oh, now as I'm leaving, I'm weary as hell. The confusion I'm feeling, ain't no tongue can tell. The words fill my head, and they fall to the floor. That if God's on outside, he'll stop the next war. Jesus loves me, this I know.
Thank you. going home there, ever with my Jesus when I leave. Lover and mother, I'm gonna need my lover and father.
The streets of the Harlems of the world, the black Harlems and the white Harlems. People are depressed. They are frustrated. They are downtrodden. They see no hope. They see no tomorrows. And I say to them always, keep the faith, baby. I say this because all over the world, people are not receiving God. They're not getting the assurances that once were given. Promises have been broken. And their dawn refuses to rise. They're walking in the midnight of sorrow, in the midnight of frustration, in the midnight of despair. Too long have they been promised the good life by the great white fathers. Too long have they waited in vain, black and white, poor and illiterate, for the better jobs, better housing, better education, better hospitals. Yet the conditions have not changed. Except for those who have always lived in the penthouses, for the people who live in the basements, in the cellar, their lives are still drab, ugly, have no hope. And I say to them, keep the faith, baby. Keep the faith. Because God's realities always exceed man's fondest dreams. Keep faith in God, whoever your God is. Keep the faith of whatever God you believe in. Keep the faith. He'll take care of things. He'll make a way out of no way. He'll open doors that no one can open and shut doors that no one can shut. And it won't be long before he proves it too. Keep the faith in yourself. You may be small to your oppressors, but you're bigger in your self-respect as a human being, because as a human being, nobody is better than you are. All human beings, black and white, rich and poor, equal in the sight of God. Keep your faith in the life of your fellow man, even though he abuses you. When he abuses you, he makes himself a lesser man. Ah, a great man once said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray, 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 pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Keep your faith. Keep your faith, because one day, black and white, Jew and Gentile, Protestant and Catholic, rich and poor, are going to walk the face of this earth with joyful hearts, happy in the togetherness of brotherhood. And the masses are going to run this world. The big man's day is gone. Not only because it is any man's world, but it's also and always has been and always will be God's world. Keep the faith. Keep the faith, baby. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by any foe, that will not tremble upon the brink of any earthly woe. Keep your faith, baby. Walk together, talk together, love together, worship together, live together, and we'll win tomorrow. Because God has no other hands than our hands. He has no other feet than our feet. And he has no other tongue than our tongue. Keep the faith. Keep the faith, baby.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Keep the faith, baby.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's it.
Ain't gonna let nobody.
Oh, yeah.
A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his inheritance. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent it all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be hungry. And he went and joined himself to a farmer who sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine ate, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. He answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a fatted calf, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And the father said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
I believe
that I would not hold back on.
Go back home.
Scripture says you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That if your light shines before men, they will give glory to the Father in heaven. That is what we must do. That is what we must do. How would we explain it to Martin Luther King if he showed up today and said, yes, we won the Cold War. Yes, the biggest threat that all of us grew up under, communism and nuclear war. Communism gone, nuclear war receding. Yes, we developed all these miraculous technologies. Yes, we all got a VCR in our home. It's interesting. Yes, we get 50 channels on the cable. Yes, without regard to race, if you work hard, play by the rules, you get into a service academy or a good college, you do just great. How would we explain to him all these kids getting killed and killing each other? How would we justify the things that we permit that no other country in the world would permit? How could we explain that we gave people the freedom to succeed and we created conditions in which millions abused that freedom to destroy the things that make life worth living and life itself? We cannot. And so I say to you today, my fellow Americans, you gave me this job, and we're making progress on the things you hired me to do. But unless we deal with the ravages of crime and drug and violence, and unless we recognize that it's due to the breakdown of the family, the community, and the disappearance of jobs, and unless we say some of this cannot be done by government because we have to reach deep inside to the values, the spirit, the soul, and the truth of human nature, none of the other things we seek to do will ever take us where we need to go. So in this pulpit, on this day, let me ask all of you, in your heart, to say, we will honor the life and the work of Martin Luther King. We will honor the meaning of our church. We will, somehow, by God's grace, we will turn this around. We will give these children a future. We will take away their guns and give them books. We will take away their despair and give them hope. We will rebuild the families and the neighborhoods and the communities. We won't make all the work that has gone on here benefit just a few. We will do it together by the grace of God.
This has been The Journey from Within, a tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on 91.7 WVXU. You'll find the playlist on our website at WVXU.org. I'm producer and host Lee Hay.